Hi everyone, and welcome to Final Score with the Score. Chelsea 5, Southampton 1. Very, very enjoyable Premier League win, which takes us to second in the Premier League currently on goal difference. Comprehensive performance. We should have won by more. And we're going to talk about this game today. We're going to talk about there's so many things we can talk about. We could have scored way more goals than we actually did. A number of misses, but also some really good performances. So, and with me today is my co-host, as long as he turns his TV down in the background, is Sabre. Welcome, Sabre.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Good. Yeah, very happy. Very happy. It's good to have you here. Ramald is away this week and Louis is also away today. So it's me and Sabre hosting, and we also want you to get involved as well. We want you to come up here and talk about the game. It's a nice big win, so lots of good things to talk about. I'll just go through the details of the game. Chelsea 5, Southampton 1 away at St Mary's. Chelsea took the lead after 7 minutes. Axel Disasi header from a corner. Really good set-piece goal. Southampton then equalised. Aribo scored after 11 minutes. Some sloppy defending from Chelsea. They had a good first 20 minutes of the game. They were in the game. They were playing well. But then their goalkeeper made an absolute howler in the 17th minute and gifted Christopher Nkunku a goal. Chelsea went ahead and we didn't really look back after that. Nani Madueke scored. We had a brilliant game today, I thought. Man of the match. Scored in the 34th minute with a beautiful cut inside and strike into the bottom corner. Cole Palmer scored in the 76th minute after a brilliant through ball from Endo to Nkunku, which came back to Palmer and he just tapped it in. And then Jadon Sancho right at the end, a beautiful strike from another great move. His first goal for Chelsea. And that was that, really. Chelsea comprehensive winners, 5-1. We're the top scorers in the Premier League this season with 41 goals. It's pretty impressive. And yeah, we're on 28 points after 14 games. So unless Arsenal win by 4 goals tonight, we're going to be second in the league going into the weekend game against Spurs. So very, very good. How do you feel about the game, Sabre? How did it go for you?
Overall, it's hard to really pick a great deal of fault with anything that happened. There's one or two things that I picked up on over the course of the game that I didn't like that I saw. Mainly, our defending out wide. I thought every time that Southampton got a bit of joy, it was when they were attacking the fullbacks. I thought Gusto in particular, while was overall okay, struggled in 1v1. Him and Kyle Walker-Peters just seemed like a bit of a mismatch the whole game, which I thought was a little bit concerning. I don't know if you thought the same, but I saw him struggling quite a lot to contain him.
Yeah, I noticed that in the first half especially. Kyle Walker-Peters has this knack of playing really well against us all the time. And he was playing on the left today and he played really well. But yeah, I mean, Gusto was in all sorts of problems with him in the first half. That was where all their danger was coming from, basically. Fortunately in the second half, it wasn't so bad. But you're right, it's a good point. We made 7 changes today. Changes today. So Jorgensen was in goal, Disasi, Tosin, Gusto, Nonny, and Kunku and Felix all started, who didn't start at the weekend. It was our second choice defence tonight, apart from Cucurella. Even Gusto is second choice technically behind Reece James. It was a really bad goal to concede, honestly. It was so disappointing. We'd just taken the lead and, you worry then when Newcastle get an equaliser early on, just give them a bit of confidence and suddenly, it could be one of those days. But fortunately it wasn't. I mean, their defence was worse than ours, if that's possible. bad. Chelsea had, in terms of the stats, we had 13 shots on target and 26 shots overall.
Jeez.
And seven wow. shots off target. And then six blocked shots. So, yeah, I mean, crikey, that is dominance. We had the most possession as well, 54%. So we absolutely dominated. You know, we had 48 touches in their box. So really, I mean, apart from that first 25 minutes, half hour, it was complete dominance from us. And they had a player sent off as well for pulling Cucurella's hair. Please take note, Anthony Taylor, for...
I literally wrote down when I was making my notes through the game is where was this energy in that Spurs game? Where was that? It's literally the same incident.
Yeah, because that we'd have won that game if that had been given correctly. That game, that's a long time ago now. But but the first thing I want to talk about today really is the man of the match for me. Like, was Noni Madueke. I wanted to talk about him. I thought, yeah, look, he came back into the team today. He was dropped at the weekend. And it looked like it was the kick up the backside that he needed. I thought he played really, really well. He was dangerous down that right side all game. Great crosses in, which we should have scored from some of them. Unbelievable. He could have scored more than one goal as well. The goal he did score was an excellent goal. I thought he was really, really good today. What are your thoughts on Noni today?
Noni, I thought he was brilliant. Overall, I was jotting down notes as I was watching the game, and I've got several Noni, how did you not score? Noni, how did you not score? Is several on different lines as I go, because he just had so many chances, but it was all down to his own good work to get himself in the right position.
Exactly, yeah.
And the link up play with Palmer was excellent. The only thing that annoyed me a little bit about Noni in this game was he was a little. It's so obvious how much he favours that left foot. And I think on the odd occasion, it sort of makes the defender's job a bit easy because you know what he's going to do. Sometimes stopping him doing it is another argument altogether. But that's only very minor. I thought I did think he was excellent today. His tracking back was brilliant. You can just see, like, and something else that I noted, that I think he's spreading throughout the team, but I think Noni in particular is great at it. Is when a move looks like it's running out of steam and we've maybe played one too many passes, he's excellent at winning a foul just to take their momentum away and get us back in control. I've noticed that about his game recently. I think that's why Maresca, he likes him so much, because you know, there's always arguments of why is Mudryk not getting more starts? Could you put Neto there or whatever? But when you see little nuances to his game like that, it's one of those things that you can see why his manager might absolutely adore him, just for those little wins that he gets us all over the pitch, even when it's not a direct goal, assist, a take on, whatever it is.
Mm.
He's brilliant at the little stuff.
Yeah, the tactical fouls. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously something that Maresca's learnt from Pep.
The importance
of tactical fouls. And again, like, yeah, you're right. I mean, I actually hadn't noticed that, but you're right. You know, and all those things matter. It's all about working hard for the team, even when you haven't got the ball, and pressing well. And yeah, he did that today. It was a good performance. I've always thought about Noni that sometimes he's the kind of player that needs to be dropped just to give him a kick up the backside.
Yeah.
And just to get him playing well again. And it looks like it worked. So, he's put himself in contention for Sunday. We'll talk about Jadon Sancho maybe a bit later, but it was a good night for him. And he was deservedly given man of the match by Amazon, who were showing the game today. Their commentary is better, much better than Sky, by the way.
Miles better. I would love if Amazon got a contract in the future for more games, because it's just so much easier and the coverage is better. The quality of the image quality is even better. I don't know if it's
absolutely. No, I agree.
100%. Anti Sky.
Yeah, I much prefer. They have better commentators as well. They have. You know, they have some of the old school ones who are much better rather than the kind of, I mean, not saying that the Sky ones are bad, but I prefer the Amazon ones. But yeah, Noni had a great game. Fair play to him. Really pleased for him as well. And that's how you win your place back. You know, when you drop, you come back into the team, put in a good performance, you score a goal, you create chances for other people, you work hard. And that's what Maresca wants. And, yeah, fair play to Noni. He's responded to that. So that's that's a positive, and it's always good to have good problems. I've said that phrase a lot this season. Having good problems in attack or in any position is never a bad thing. So he's given Maresca something to think about for Sunday, because, you know, you've still got Sancho, you've still got Neto, you know, and other players that can come in. So yeah, fantastic for him. Just want to say to everyone who's here today, please do request to come up, because we want to bring you up after kind of every point we talk about. We want to bring someone up to talk about the game, talk about their thoughts on the game. This is your show. We want it to be your show. So please do come up. Don't be afraid. And we don't bite. And your views are important. You know, we're all Chelsea fans. All our views are important. Just be respectful and respectful of other people's views and stuff. And yeah, but we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get you up here. So do request, and Sabre, keep an eye on that as well if you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
In case I miss anyone. But yeah, we really want you up here. So yeah, also do check out the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. It's all our content is on there. We post all our content, podcasts, articles, everything else is on that account. It's a really good account. So there's some great content on there. So make sure you give the Chelsea Echo a follow on Twitter. Absolutely. So next, I just wanted to come to Jorgensen. First Premier League start today. People have been saying that, including on this show, we've been talking a lot about how Sanchez needs to be dropped and Jorgensen deserves a run in the Premier League, and he got his chance today. I was actually surprised, actually. I didn't think he would be starting, but yeah. Maresca gave him a chance. I thought he had a good game.
Yeah, I did too.
His distribution was good. I thought he didn't make any stupid mistakes. He was pretty solid. So how do you think he did?
Yeah, I thought he was good. And they pressured him as well. Southampton were they were full of energy. And like you said, in the first sort of 25, 30 minutes, they were kind of all over us in a weird way. Even despite losing and being down to 10 men, they were somehow still kind of all over us. And when they did put him under pressure, didn't flap, didn't lose his cool. He just sort of stuck to the plan. And it worked. Yeah. And he made a couple of really, really solid stops. And yeah, like you, I thought, I didn't expect Maresca to rotate the goalkeeper in particular, but I thought if there is a game to do it, you've got Spurs on the weekend, bottom of the league in midweek. If you're going to give him a run out, this kind of isn't really a better time to do it. And much like you said with Nonny, he's given Maresca a big sort of headache to think about now, because for all of, you know, I understand him wanting to stick by Robert Sanchez, and I think the goalkeeper is one of those positions you kind of need to just give a guy the one shirt and just say, just go for it. Even if it's for a full year, even if it leads to a bit of pain, I kind of think it's the right thing to do. But when you see some of the errors that Sanchez makes, and I do think that some Chelsea fans are a bit harsh on him. I think he has become, he's verging on a bit of a scapegoat, even when he doesn't really do a great deal wrong. But when you see a performance like that from Jorgensen, albeit against Southampton, you start to think, you've got to give this guy a run. He's earned it. He's earned a place at least to give him two or three games. Maybe Spurs is maybe too big of an occasion for him, perhaps. But that's where you learn who your big dogs are in the team. That's how you learn who's going to be your new spine. I mean, he could be that guy, for all we know.
He could. I thought he had... they had four shots on target. So he did have saves to make, you know, and they were important saves, especially in that first half when it was still, I think, 1-1 or 2-1. They had some big chances and he made some really important saves. And these games are sometimes harder for goalkeepers because you don't get as many opportunities to save. So you have to get your concentration going because they can catch you out if you lose concentration, because you're so dominant. You don't have many chances to face. You can lose concentration, but that didn't happen today. Jorgensen did exactly what he needed to do. He saved every chance that came his way. His distribution was pretty good as well. No stupid errors out from the back. He gives you a lot more confidence than Sanchez. And you're right that Sanchez has become a bit of a scapegoat, but a lot of the criticism is valid as well, I think. I saw a statistic with Sanchez that he's had the most errors leading to goals of any goalkeeper in the Premier League this season. You know, so
It's not a good look, is it?
No. it's not. That's not scapegoating. That's just a statistic. You know, and we do criticise him a lot on this show, to be fair. But to be fair to him, he kept a clean sheet on the weekend against Villa. So, you know, he had a good game then. So, yeah, I mean, that's why I was surprised he was dropped, because he actually had a good game at the weekend. But I suspect he'll be in goal at the weekend. But Jorgensen, like you say, has given him something to think about, and fair play to him, because, you know, he'd obviously heard Maresca sticking by Sanchez publicly, but he's not let that distract him. He's focused on his game, focused on performing whenever he gets a chance, and he's doing that. And I thought he played well against Heidenheim last week, and he played well today. So, yeah, it's, again, good problems to have. It's always good to have healthy competition for places when you're competing at the top of the Premier League. I think he's been excellent.
Yeah, I agree.
Who's your preference of the two, and why?
It's tricky with Jorgensen, because we've only seen so little of him. And let's be frank, against not the best opposition, it's mostly been Conference League. And again, most of the time he's got not a great deal to do. I like what I've seen for us, maybe not as many. It's probably slightly away by his mistakes, but although Sanchez does have some clangers in him, you could argue that against, you know, the likes of Forest and against Bournemouth, he saved our arses basically almost on his own, and he was excellent. So he's probably a bit more seasoned, but I think you hit the nail on the head. You just feel a bit calmer when Jorgensen is in between the posts. There's just something, even if he's a bit of an unknown entity. I think the biggest thing that separates them for me is that if Jorgensen's in goal, I'm not really as tense. If I see Sanchez's name on the sheet, I'm like, I know he's the number one, but I don't know. There's something could go horribly wrong while he's in the net. But with Jorgensen, I don't know. He just seems relaxed. The back, even you've got De Sarsi back there, who is, you know, notorious amongst Chelsea fans in particular for some of the clangers he can drop. Mm-hmm. But Jorgensen seems to calm him down as well. Like, the back two look a bit more assured with him behind them.
Yeah.
So I think I'd go for Jorgensen just for that alone.
Absolutely. Yeah. De Zarzi, I mean, I was a big fan of his last season. I've defended him a lot. But this season he's not been so great. But, I mean, again, like, this is the game to play him in. And he scored as well.
Exactly.
Header. Enzo Fernandez with another assist. He's racking them up.
He's on fire.
I've lost count of how many assists he's got now. Seven assists and two goals in the last six games or something like that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He's absolutely on fire. Something I noticed in this game as well, something new that we're finally getting right, is corner delivery. We've been absolutely awful all season at corners. I've seen this poor set piece coach has been getting a lot of flack, like, oh, we hired this set piece coach. I thought he was going to help us out. But, you know, in fairness to this guy, we never make it past the first man anyway. So for all we know, his set pieces are excellent, but the delivery's been shocking. But tonight, tonight we were excellent. All of the delivery was great, mostly from Enzo. But that was a nice positive change that I noticed, because most of the times we get corners recently, and I'm just like, I almost look away because I'm like, it's never even going to make it into the box anyway. So
yeah,
what's the point?
Exactly. Yeah, and that was an excellent set piece, goal. I mean, the goalkeeper did kind of make a mistake as well, but we still got to make the most of it. And it basically went straight to De Zarzi, and he headed it in. It was, nice goal. It's nice to score from a set piece. Fair play to Jorgensen. I thought he was great tonight. Really pleased for him. And hopefully he gets more opportunities in the league. I suspect he will, given the number of games that we're playing. So that's positive. And we've also got a couple of European games left, haven't we? Or was it just one? I can't remember. So he'll get more opportunities anyway. And, you know, if he keeps playing like that, he's going to eventually have to get Maresca to make a decision. So we'll see what happens with that. But well played, Jorgensen, tonight. Really, really positive. Speaking of matches, do check out the voice note review from the Chelsea Echo. Louis will be doing that. Little 3-minute review of the game. It'll be on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. always worth listening. Short and sweet from Louis. Always gets to the point. He's always great. Not with us tonight, but he'll be doing that. And that will be available shortly, either tonight or tomorrow, but hopefully tonight. Do make sure you catch that. And again, please, we'd love some people to start requesting to come up. I'm looking and there's no one requesting at the moment. We really would like to hear from you, like to talk about the game. I mean, there's so much good to talk about today. You know, we won 5-1.
Absolutely.
We're second in the Premier League, you know, even with Arsenal win, we're second in the Premier League, after 14 games. It's the highest we've been for years. I can't remember when we were last in the top two in the Premier League. Must have been under Tuchel, I think. It was like 3 years ago. Yeah. Wow. Gosh. Come up and talk about it. Let's celebrate Chelsea doing well. 3 successive Premier League wins as well now. And top scorers in the Premier League, you know, we're doing really well. It's a really nice time to be a Chelsea fan. So do come up and share how you feel about Chelsea right now and players that you're enjoying watching. We'd love to hear from you. So, do that. That brings us to the third topic today. Christopher Nkunku. He started up top today. And he scored. It's now 12 goals in 21 games this season. So, what does he have to do to start in the Premier League?
I think what he did tonight, really, to be quite honest, he did nothing wrong. I'm just watching the highlights back now and just seeing his little sort of cut. He's like cut behind himself, but kind of assisted Palmer. It was clearly a shot, but he's, you know, Palmer's tapped it in just to be on the safe side. But I don't really think he can do a great deal more than he did this evening, to be quite honest. I thought he was excellent. In the very first few minutes of the match, I've made a note that I don't think his press was particularly aggressive. He was kind of like half pressing, being near the guy, but he wasn't really going all out. Which, when you know, if that's Jackson, he's all over a defender's back. He's really applying a lot of pressure. But he got better as it went, and I noticed that the front three, Felix, Palmer, and Nkunku were kind of pressing as a three in like a weird triangle shape. All pressing together, which I thought was quite interesting. And I thought he took his chance. His goal was a bit of a gift, but he's got to be there to take it. He's got to be there to put it away. So fair play, he got on the score sheet. So you score, you assist on after not starting since, well, the first game of the season in the Premier League. And that's all you can do. I do feel a bit bad for Nkunku. He's a bit of a victim of Cole Palmer's rise, really, because I suspect had he not been injured and Palmer hadn't kind of surprised everybody with what he turned out to be, he'd be our number 10 and he'd kind of be the guy that we're building around. But he's sort of somewhat unfortunate that Palmer turned out to be a superstar and he just got injured at a really unfortunate time. But otherwise, I don't think he could have done much more. I thought he played well tonight. I thought he did his job, he got his goal, and he linked up well with the other attackers, Felix in particular. And he's another one that I think we should talk about, because I thought Felix was absolutely excellent tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Christopher Nkunku. I think he's played well all season. Excuse me. I have a bit of a cough. But I think, he's played well all season. And yeah, like you say, did his job tonight. He is clinical in those one-on-one situations. He's a very good finisher. And like you say, I think he got better as the game went on. And I loved seeing that link up between him and Felix and Palmer. It was really good to see. You can see the coaching from Enzo Maresca on screen there. Like that's definitely a result of good coaching. That triangular play, the possession play that we play, just generally, you can see the impact of his coaching. And it's really good. Yeah, I mean, I kind of would like him to start, you know, kind of in the 10 and then Palmer on the inside right and Jackson up top and Pedro Neto maybe on the left. You know, that would be a pretty amazing front four. We've talked about it on this show before. But then again, you've got Nani, who's played well tonight, Sancho, you know, Mudrick's in pretty good form. and there's probably someone I'm missing as well. We've got so many good attackers. It's really great, you know. Mudgett was sick tonight. He wasn't well, so he wasn't in the squad. But yeah, we didn't miss him.
No.
You know, we scored 5 goals without him. So it's really good. Like, I love that we've got these good problems in attack. And most of our attackers are on form and playing well, you know, and that's good to see. And they're responding to the competition for places. And, you know, that does bring me to Felix as well, because I was really impressed with him tonight. I thought he worked hard. I saw him. He was tracking back and winning tackles. He was pressing. He was making good runs. He was linking up the play really well. His movement was good. He should have scored. I mean, he should have had a couple of goals.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, on my notes.
His first thing was so wasteful. He could have had a hat trick. He could have had a hat trick tonight. And it was annoying. It was really annoying to watch. But also, you know, he played well to get in those positions in the first place. And in terms of his football, I thought he had a really good overall game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I just wrote Felix's name down as I was going through. When he did something really silky and really like had a beautiful touch, or there was a turn that he did, the ref brought it back for an offside, and Felix had like spun his man and got away. It was right near the end of the game, and it was just beautiful. And I think this is kind of what Joao Felix is. You'll see something absolutely gorgeous from him. It's a touch, a turn, a knock past the player, whatever it may be, and then there's just that. There's just something missing a little bit with him that stops him from being this, you know, 100 million quid player that everyone thought that he was at one point in his career, and everyone thought he was going to go on to be, you know, the next big thing in the game. And he's clearly got the talent. There was the bit where I think he sprinted back into midfield, slide tackled, won the ball, played a 1-2 with, I think it was Madueke. And then, oh no, it wasn't Madueke. It was Talai. So he plays him through. And then instead of he takes it just past the defender. Instead of shooting, he then back heels it for Madueke. And just like, just fucking hit it there. Like, that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, I remember that. I was pulling my, well, I don't have much hair, but.
Me neither.
I was pulling what hair I do have out. But that, I was just like, just put your boot through it and shoot. Like, you know, and it's just, it got a bit frustrating. I was like, and we were 3-1 up, to be fair, so it wasn't like we were in trouble. But, you know, with a Chelsea fan, you're always nervous that something can happen.
Yeah.
So I was only able to relax when that fourth goal went in, honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
After that, I was fine, because I knew they weren't going to get 3 goals.
Yeah. I think as well, the scoreline looks great, and it was great, and overall it was a good performance. But I thought, considering they went a man down after, what, half an hour, 35 minutes? We weren't really in, we didn't take that much control, considering you mentioned that we had 54 or 6% possession, I think it was 54% possession. You think against bottom of the table, down to 10 men, we should have, I mean, 5-1 is a clear dominating scoreline, but it says a lot that I'm still left thinking, we didn't really have control of that, of how much more it could have been. I know that, and that's not me sort of the typical Chelsea Twitter fan, you know, nothing's ever good enough for us, I'm absolutely delighted, but yeah, I why I shared your nerves a bit, because at 3-1 we were kind of cruising but kind of in danger as well. It always
Like we were also like almost like we've won this, we can relax now, you know, like, and they weren't quite as ruthless enough, you know. And I was and also I just wanted us to score loads of goals, because it's nice to score loads of goals. And we could have scored 6, 7, or 8 tonight, honestly.
Oh, easy. We could have hit double.
You know.
Yeah, easily.
I mean, Kunku could have probably had another one. You know, Felix could probably have had a hat trick. Palmer could have probably had another one. And so could Nonny. Like, you know, that's 6 more goals. So yeah, it could have been like 9 or 10 tonight. And that wouldn't have been unflattering, given the number of shots we had and, you know, the number of chances we had. Yeah. But with, you know, 5-1, I'm not going to complain. Especially because it's the bottom team in the league. So I'd have taken that at the start. But yeah, absolutely. Felix, I mean, like, I was a bit sceptical of us signing him, but to be fair, he's worked really, really hard since he's been here. Every game I've seen him, he's pressed, he's worked, he's tried to win tackles, he's tried to get on the ball, his movement's been good. And you know, he's got some goals and he's been involved when he's played, and he's just probably deserved more than he got tonight. Certainly, probably should have had a hat trick. And yeah, but I think if he keeps making the effort, then the opportunities will keep coming, and eventually he'll put them in the net. So
yeah,
fair play to him. Wesker definitely seems to be able to manage and motivate his players. You know, we've got players that have failed at other clubs. I mean, even Sancho didn't really work at Manchester United. And he's got, I think, 6 assists and a goal now, I think, or 5 assists and a goal, something like that. He's one behind his assist record for Manchester United.
Jesus.
And that just shows you, I mean, you know, and he's won a penalty as well. So he's definitely been a good signing, and I think we're going to pay 20, 25 million for him next summer, and that's an absolute bargain.
Yeah.
So I've always been a fan of Sancho. And it's clear that he loves it at Chelsea much more than United. So
yeah,
that's good.
He's one of those that when his whole saga was going on and he moved to United, he was always one of those players like, he's got to come to us. He just feels like he should play. Yeah.
I always felt that he was a Chelsea player, that he should be at Chelsea. And, you know, he should have joined us when we should have signed him when we signed Kai Havertz, actually.
Yeah.
100%. But, alas, Kai Havertz went to Arsenal. We got the better of that deal. So yeah, some good stuff on our attackers there. And, it's really good to have so many good attackers. It's really pleasing. Right. Normally this is when we get Louis from the ground, but he's not at the ground today, so we won't be doing that. But again, we really want to get you up here. If you want to come up and talk about anything we've talked about or something we haven't talked about, maybe there's something that you feel we're ignoring and we should be talking about. We really want this to be your show. So we want you to come up here and tell us what you think. And don't be shy. You know, make a request. You get up at the moment because there's no other request at the moment, but yeah, we'd love to hear from other people. So do come up if you want to come up.
There's a couple of responses in the saying that Nkunku should leave for the sake of his career.
Well, that's an interesting
recorder that's responding to the.
That's definitely an interesting point. I think there's been a bit of talk about him leaving, isn't there? Like, there has been.
Mm.
That's an interesting, good, Fixing Football podcast, Fixing Football, who's actually here tonight, still here. You can come up if you like, if you want, we can talk about that. So do request if you want to, but that's an interesting topic because, there is an argument that he should leave because, like Cole Palmer plays in his position. We've got Estevao Willian coming in the summer. You can play on the right or the 10, or the left, actually. And then we've got Kendry Pyers coming at some point as well. And he's not like a natural number 9, so he's not the competition that we need for Jackson. That's the argument I think people are making. Personally, I want us to keep him if we can. Because he's such a talented footballer. I don't want him to go anywhere else in the Premier League, for sure. Not really to any rival. But so what do you think about that question?
Yeah.
Sabre, thank you. And should he leave for the sake of his career?
I think potentially, yes. And I hate saying it because I think he's brilliant. And I think he would improve almost any team in the Premier League. And the annoying thing is, I think that the only teams who could actually afford him, sadly, are in the Premier League as well. It's not like years gone by where, unless Real Madrid wanted him, because Barca are broke and no one in Serie A could afford him realistically. So the days of selling your best players to best clubs on the continent, they're over. You're selling them to a direct rival. So that's the only reason that I would hate him to leave. That, and on top of the fact that I do rate him as a player, but I kind of see it. Like, Palmer's going nowhere. He's the man. He's, my opinion, the best player in the league, if not, and ergo usually makes them the best player in the world, in my opinion. And then on the right hand side, yeah, you realistically put Palmer out to the right, which he could do and still have a massive impact, but then you've got the likes of Madueke and Neto, again, who you just spent big money on. Who do you see as the longer-term fit for the team? Again, you've got, and then, like you said, you've got Estevao coming in the summertime. That's again, if the hype is to be believed, he could be the next. I mean, every year there's a new next big thing coming out of Brazil, so we'll just have to see how he gets on. But I think that there is a valid case for Nkunku to be looking at his options and thinking, you know what, it may be best to get out now while my stock quite high. And I can still get a tasty contract elsewhere. But I brought up Fixing Football to the speakers.
Excellent. I'm glad to see you Fixing Football. Just expand on your point about Nkunku. Just unmute yourself and just let us know what you think.
Yeah, hello everyone. So, nice to meet you all. I work with Scott on our Fixing Football podcast. That's what made me sort of get involved, really. And I maybe it did think about Nkunku, sort of watching him get some minutes there, and I did sit there wondering, could it be best for both parties? But he gets a move that helps his career, but also from a PSR perspective, he's holding quite a lot of revenue there in one player that hasn't really dipped in value either, because it's not like he's failed at Chelsea, he just hasn't really gone his way. So that money could be invested elsewhere, was what I was thinking as a non-Chelsea fan watching it from a practical perspective. He seemed like a lot of value tied up in one player isn't playing, and if you want to improve and maybe take that next step in the next two seasons of challenging right at the top, you'd need to be ruthless there, was what I was thinking as an outsider looking in.
Are you a Chelsea fan?
No, not at all, no. I'm a Bolton fan. A Bolton fan. So I'm completely neutral, like, you know what I mean? So it just seemed a little money tied up.
So, well, I mean, just what's your assessment of Chelsea generally this season as a neutral?
Very good. Real big steps. I think as a neutral, a lot of people were surprised with the Pochettino breakdown at the second half of last season, and maybe the ship was turning there, and a lot of people were from the outside looking in thinking that you'd maybe made a snap decision there. But Maresca did wonders at Leicester. Obviously, he had all the tools to do it, but he made them work, and it looks like he's doing the same thing at Chelsea. It looks like he's finding a formula that essentially is translating into performances, and the Premier League is sort of not good. I think in the next 18 months really going to open up again. I think Liverpool are surprising people this season, but I think potentially you might be coming good at a time where you can actually really compete again, whereas in the last sort of decade or so, that's been very difficult because City have been getting about 200 points a season. But that's not going to be the case in the next couple of years. So you might be coming in at a very good time.
Yeah, I mean, like the owners did talk about how part of their plan was to build a young team that would be ready to compete at the point where, you know, Manchester City decline or Pep leaves Manchester City. And it looks like they were on course to do that. So, yeah, it's always interesting to get perspectives from other fans. Like, what are your thoughts on what he said, Sabre?
I think, yeah, it's hard to disagree, to be quite honest. It's hard to say that there isn't validity in everything that was just put forward. There is a lot of money tied up in Nkunku, a player who we could probably make back everything that we spent. I think it was about 55 to 60 million-ish deal a couple of years ago. We could probably get most of it back and be a massive wages off the books. I don't know if he fits into our new wage structure. It was probably done a bit before that was all sort of really heavily implemented. So, yeah, it's fair. It would probably be a deal that could work for everybody. I think it'd be one of those deals like no one would be happy about it, but it's almost starting to make more sense to do it than not do it at the moment, which I think is a bit tricky. On the points about the Premier League opening up, again, I think it's absolutely fair because we're starting to see City, maybe their natural reign is coming to an end. Then you've got the likes of Liverpool, who nobody realistically thought were going to challenge. It was a two-horse race and Liverpool just kind of snuck into it. And Chelsea could be sort of we could have really primed ourselves. We're probably going to make a run at the title probably a year or two earlier than we thought that we would. But the chips are falling the right way for us. And I think we stand the chance of being a very, very big player in the title race for the next 5-10 years if things are going the right way for us.
Yeah, I've felt that this season, that the young talent that we have is going to get better every season. We will add to the squad still. There's still areas that we can improve in the squad, and we will add to the squad. There's players on loan who will come in, like Andre Santos, who I think is just an incredible player. There's Anselmo, who's a great young centre-back. Obviously, Hugo Chukwu at Southampton, who I think they're wasting, but couldn't play tonight anyway because he's on loan from Chelsea. And then, of course, you've got Estevao and Kendry Páez, who are top young talents. And they're just going to get better, but they're going to be coming in without pressure because, you know, you look at our attack already, they're not going to be under pressure to carry the attack or to be a first choice straight away. They can work their way into the squad. They can adapt to the Premier League. And then, you know, I mean, I don't think it will take very long for Estevao to get his way into the first choice 11, to be perfectly honest. But we'll see what happens with that. And, but yeah, as that team develops and matures, it's going to be frightening, I think. You know, once we sort our defence out, you know, we're the top goal scorers in the league this season. If we could defend properly, we would probably be, you know, we'd be level with Liverpool, probably, you know, which is amazing when you think about the age of the squad.
Yeah, you look at just a couple of the results. So, like, what, the Forest results and the, oh, what's the other one where we dropped really dumb points? I can't remember which one it was.
Crystal Palace.
Yeah, Palace, that was it. You look at those two games, which you really should have won. Naturally, you're not going to be able to win them all. But just those little games that you think we should be battering them, and then you're really not far off the kind of form that everyone's talking about with Liverpool being, being the runaway success story of the season so far. So it's fine margins, and yeah, it could just be a centre half, a goalkeeper. They're probably the two positions that we need the most. There's talk of a striker. Everyone wants Nicholas Jackson. I'm becoming less and less convinced we need another, well, a top centre forward. I think we maybe, I'd actually be happy if we got someone to support Jackson rather than.
Yeah, my view on that is I think we need a different profile to Jackson, but someone who's going to be competition, not someone who's going to take his place. So Liam Delap, for example, you know, or even Evan Ferguson, someone who's a different kind of profile to Jackson, but isn't going to just walk into the team. It's going to be competition for him. But someone who gives us a bit more power and aerial threat, because just someone you can bring off the bench, you know, like an Olivier Giroud. We need that kind of player because it's just a different alternative. So if plan A isn't working, we can bring on this kind of powerhouse up top who can win headers and, you know, get crosses and score goals and give defenders something else to think about. I think that's all we need. We don't.
It sounds like you're describing from an outside perspective. It sounds like you're describing Chris Wood there to me. That's who you should be going after.
You know what? That's actually not. That's actually a pretty good shout. I hadn't thought of that at all.
He'd be happy. He'd be happy on your bench in the big games.
How old is Chris Wood? Do you know? He's what, 26?
31, I guess, 32, something like that.
Yeah. We won't sign a 31-year-old.
Yeah, true. 91. Similar to me, he'd be 33 then.
That would be a really smart move, actually. I wouldn't be against that. He's exactly that profile. He's that, you know, when we signed Giroud, that's what we signed him for. He wasn't the first choice striker. But he came off the bench and made an impact. And actually, it was against Southampton, I remember. He came off the bench and got two goals and we won the game from behind. I think Nicholas Jackson, I'm a big fan of his. So, yeah, I'm with you on the attack. But I think we're in a really good place overall. And, you know, now we've got a manager I think is going to stick around for a while and has a long-term plan. And he's playing academy players as well, which is important. And the fans love him. The fans are singing his name tonight.
Yeah, that was going to be my next, I guess, next talking point is, I can't remember, since Thomas Tuchel, we've not heard a Chelsea manager's name sung in the stands. And it was really nice to see seeing him acknowledge it as well. He didn't try and like style it out. He applauded the fans back in response, which I thought was it's always nice to see that sort of relationship start to build. Because he came in, and I'm the first person to admit I was not particularly happy or convinced by the appointment. More so from the optics of we've hired a manager from the Championship, unproven. We were all sort of the opinion we were that much of a circus. We needed a steady, experienced hand to guide us. But I think, you know, we tried that with Poch, and it didn't really work. I mean, that was a car crash of an appointment from day one. Like, anyone knows anything about Chelsea knows that Poch is just the worst possible fit for us. Even he could have just come off winning the Champions League. Poch and Chelsea just isn't a marriage that should have happened. But today, hearing fans chanting for Enzo Maresca and him sort of acknowledging that back, and it's a really... If you'd have said to all the pundits on all the Sky Sports pundits that by December we'd be not that far off the top of the league in second place, above Arsenal and Man City, and the fans would be chanting the new manager's name, I don't think any of them would have believed you. So it's really nice to see.
It is, and I predicted we would be like fifth or sixth around Christmas, and then finish third or fourth, maybe fifth. So, I mean, and my prediction was deemed as an optimistic one at the beginning of the season. You had many people saying we would finish sixth or fifth or sixth or seventh, you know, and wouldn't make Champions League, and, you know, that, but I always felt we could get Champions League this season. I didn't expect us to be this good, I must admit. I didn't expect us to be second, at the beginning of December. And only have lost two league games. At the beginning of December. So that's Enzo. I think actually that's a good point. Let's talk about Enzo Maresca, because Enzo Maresca, we haven't talked about him much on this show, but you know, he's now well into his reign, 14 Premier League games, eight wins. Very, very good. That's well over 50% win percentage. And you know, we're second in the league. We're, you know, on goal difference, but still second in the league, above Arsenal, above Manchester City. Above, like, Spurs, Newcastle, all those, Aston Villa, you know, all those teams, only Liverpool are above us. And they're now only 5 points above us, I think. Or was it six? It
might be six. They were losing at one point, and I think it went down to...
It's seven. Yeah, they ended up drawing. So, they're 7 points above us. I don't think we're going to win the title, by the way. I don't think that's going to happen this season. But I do think we'll finish in the top four, maybe the top three. If we finish second this season, that's incredible, honestly. But Enzo Maresca, he's shown he's a top coach. Tactically, he is brilliant. Always has a plan. Always has a different idea. Always has a way to change things. Makes good substitutions. He's managing the squad really well. The players clearly playing for him, like him, and they're playing for each other. He's got the right mentality in the group. Like today was a potential banana skin in the past for Chelsea. We won.
They did the double overs last year, didn't they?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, this is a game we often lose. So, to have the right mentality to come to this game and win, again, that's positive. And he's really made an effort to connect with the fans and the club and, you know, and everyone at the club. And he clearly loves Chelsea and enjoys being at Chelsea. And he's become part of the furniture. So, a lot of credit to him, and I really like him, honestly, I really do. Yeah. And there's something about Italian managers at Chelsea.
It just works, doesn't it? It just works.
Vialli, you know, Ancelotti, Conte, you know, even Sarri won a trophy. So Italian managers and Chelsea go pretty well together. So it looks like this is another one that's going to be that.
Yeah.
And just some thoughts on Maresca.
Yeah, there's only one thing that I think he's... I think the only way to put it is that he's missing. I don't mean this in terms of his ability, but in terms of convincing the masses that we're now sort of back in a serious outfit again. I think all he needs now is a big result in a big, big game. So when we come up against, you know, a traditional big six, well, this weekend could be it. I mean, I find it hard to take Spurs particularly seriously because I really don't think that they're all that good, but it's still Spurs. They're still a rival. So I think a win in that game on the weekend would sort of be that would be that sort of statement game to be like, no, I am that guy. We are a serious team, and we are not to be taken lightly. Because Ange gets a lot of praise, and I don't necessarily understand why. I don't think that Spurs are all that great. You know, they smashed City 4-0 the other day, but they always beat City anyway. That's just that's their one.
That's their thing. And then they drew with Fulham the next game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, that's typical, isn't it? Like, you know, I was saying to everyone when they won that game, I was like, Spurs are just going to drop points against some random like mid-table team next, and they drop points to Fulham, you know, after beating Manchester City. So I was proved right. I mean, Spursy is just Spursy, you know, it's always going to be that way. You know, and yeah, I mean, you're right. I think that's the thing that's missing. I agree. Missed like a good performance and a comprehensive win against, you know, a rival. And Spurs would count as a rival. They're in the top. I think they're in the top six, and they're seen as a big club still, even though they've not won anything since 2008, which we always like to tell people. It's always fun making fun of Spurs as a Chelsea fan. But we could go to that game and win. I mean, that's four wins on the trot as well in the league. We'd be in second.
Yeah. They'll probably be as well in that. I think I remember after the, I can't remember which game it was. It might have been the Arsenal game. And we sort of looking at the fixtures and you're looking at the next 10 games and you think, you know what? Chelsea have got a great chance to do some damage in the league here. And then the two games that really stuck out as maybe banana skins were probably the Spurs game and the Villa game. And we got through the Villa game, absolutely battered them. So if you get past the Spurs game with a win, we've got the other two promoted sides to play, I believe. I think Ipswich will be coming up fairly soon after that. And your games after that are looking pretty favourable. And you, before you know it, you could be looking at Chelsea having won close to 10 games on the spin. I don't want to jinx anything, but it's doable when you look at who we've got next if we get past the Spurs game.
The game that I'm concerned about in that run is Everton away.
Oh, God, yeah, that's horrible.
I hate playing Everton away because they always play like Barcelona.
Yeah.
As soon as we turn up, they just suddenly become this like world-class team and just have the game of their lives. It happens every single season.
Oh, and so
I can't stand Everton. And I hate playing them away. Like, I just hate playing them away because they always turn up. You know, and so if we can get through that game, if we win that game, that says a lot about us.
Yeah.
That's a bogey ground and it's not easy to play there, especially in the winter. And we always seem to end up playing them in December as well in that ground. I don't know why. We played them in December last year and we lost 2-0 last season.
Yeah, it's a horrible place to go. It's a horrible ground, and particularly when their fans are on it. It's one of those.
Exactly, right. You can't give them anything. You have to go in there and get an early goal. Or an early couple of goals and just silence the crowd.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what you need to do. You can't give them a goal like we did to Southampton tonight. You know, cause they'll just get all up for it and yeah. And it's Dyche and, you know, whatever. So yeah, if we win that game, I'll be very pleased. I think we might actually because Southampton away is a bogey ground as well. We won there. We won at Wolves away as well, which is a bogey ground.
Yep.
We won at West Ham away, which is a bogey ground. So, you know, the signs are there that we could. And yeah, I mean, if we'd somehow put a good run together now, like, who knows what could happen? I mean, Liverpool have got to drop points at some point. Yeah, I mean, they dropped points tonight.
Yeah.
Conceded 3 goals, which is good because it means they're not going to catch Chelsea's goals record of goals conceded in the Premier League season, some of them are boasting about. I think Arsenal fans are boasting about it as well.
Oh, they do it every year, though. Every year they go on about breaking the record. And within weeks of somebody opening their mouth and saying that they're going to break that record, they crumble. And I think that record's safe for all time, to be quite honest.
I don't think anyone's ever going to beat that.
It's a joke. Yeah. It's a ridiculous... When you really start thinking about that record, it just... And I remember at the time, like, I don't really, like, recall understanding how good it was of an achievement. It was one of those like little blurbs that got, oh, by the way, Chelsea have set the record for least amount of goals conceded, and you just think, oh, good. But then when you look at 15 goals, and I think only, what, 9 from open play or something, or whatever it was, I think it was 9. It's just, it then just starts to become like, I don't think anybody's ever going to replicate it. It's a ridiculous achievement.
It is, and I remember it. And it was when we went 1-0 up in those games. I could relax at 1-0 in the first minute. If we scored in the first minute and went 1-0 up, I didn't even worry for a second that we were going to concede. I knew we weren't. I knew we'd keep a clean sheet. If you went behind, I was like, "No, we're still going to win," and we did. You know, I didn't even get anxious when we went 1-0 down because I knew we'd win. That team was incredible. Anyway, Louis is here. I'm trying to get Louis to come up. I've requested a couple of times. So, Louis, if you want to come up and talk to us about this game, I'm sure you do because it was a great performance. Please do request and come up. We'd love to get your views on the game.
Do you mind if I ask a question to you all about what you thought about the red card, the hair pull? Do you think that, me personally, I hate that. Like, if someone pulls someone, and could Cucurella have it done to him before as well? Like, a couple of seasons ago or something, I can't remember.
Someone
had their hair pulled.
Yeah, it was against Spurs, and it was burned into every Chelsea fan's memory because we were one up, I think. Or I can't remember exactly the scoreline, but I know that about 2 or 3 seconds later, after that whole thing got ignored, it should have been a red card for, I think it was Romero who did it. And then not a minute or two later, Harry Kane scored and it just totally changed the game. And it was just,
It was Anthony Taylor who is refereeing the Spurs game at the weekend.
Of course he is.
Who did that. And that's another reason that Chelsea fans are a bit annoyed about Sunday is that Anthony Taylor is refereeing.
I think it should be a foul and a probable penalty. But I always think the red's harsh as well. Even though I hate it, the fact that it's like a hair pull, the proper like bitch move. But but do you think the red's a bit harsh as well?
It's tricky, isn't it? Because it's classed as violent conduct, isn't it? Which is kind of like straight red.
I mean, if it was me and somebody pulled my hair and I had hair like that and somebody pulled it and it hurt and it made me fall over, then, it's just when nothing gets done. It should be at least a yellow card when that happens because it is, it's not proper conduct at all.
I agree. I just wanted your thoughts on it. I thought it was interesting.
So, I wasn't unhappy they got a player sent off. But it's just not often that those decisions go for us. So,
if you're Russell Martin though, watching that, you must be losing your mind. Like, what the fuck?
Some of us feel that everything's going against them right now because they're not. They had some good moments tonight. They did, and they scored a good goal. You know, it was bad defending by us, but it was still a good goal. But they've got to, this way they want to play. I admire them for sticking to it, but it's going to get them relegated because if you don't have the players to play it and you can't play it properly, you end up losing games. You know, we had this with Burnley under Vincent Kompany. You know, they wouldn't be pragmatic. And I think to stay up, you have to be able to be pragmatic, honestly. You shouldn't be playing this kind of football unless you've got the players to play it well, and to execute it. You know, our second goal tonight was an example of, what happens when you have players who can't do it. You know, because basically the goalkeeper came out with the ball, Nonnenwegh won it off him and just gave it to Kunku, who had an empty net, and it was a goal. And if they weren't playing out from the back, that goal doesn't happen, you know. That's why, Everton hired Sean Dyche, because he's much better at getting people out of trouble. Because he's pragmatic, but he's also a very good coach. But he's pragmatic about it. He doesn't try and do something that he's not a philosophy manager. He just wants to get results. And we're nearly done now. It's been really good having you up fixing football. Thanks for your comments. It's always good to get a neutral perspective on Chelsea to really assess where we are. So thanks for that. And thanks for that comment about Nkunku. That's a really interesting debate about whether he will leave or not, or whether he should leave, be allowed to leave, or, we could try and make space for him. Obviously, that's a good debate. And appreciate you coming up with that. Thank you to Sabre for coming to co-host today. You've done a fantastic job, I think.
Thank you very much, mate. Anytime.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back, even when you're not co-hosting. We'd love to have you here more regularly, and because you've always got great points to make. So, yeah, just your final thoughts on the game, Sabre.
Final thoughts. You know, it's the bottom of the league, but a 5-1 win is a 5-1 win. I don't think it's the game in and of itself. Maybe don't get overexcited, but be very excited about where Chelsea currently are. We're second in the table. Everyone had us pegged as, you know, seventh or lower. So we're proving everyone wrong, and it's going to be... I can't wait for the image of Tom Bowley finally lifting a Premier League trophy on that pitch and just Sky pundit seething in behind the teeth and just not able to compliment him and just trying to find a way to go after him for the way he's gone about it, because they'll hate it. But we'll be back. We'll be back where we belong, on top, and everybody hating us. So that's where I think we're headed. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun hearing Gary Neville's comments after his million bottle jobs after they lost tonight to Arsenal, by the way, Man United, which is fun, Man United losing. But yeah, I'm really positive. It was nice to win 5-1. Could have been 10-1, probably.
Yeah.
But you take 5-1, lots of good goals, really enjoyable to watch, certainly from an attacking point of view. Second in the league, going into Spurs on Sunday. Let's go and, you know, really put in a performance and a statement against them, get a good performance, get another win, and onwards and upwards. And we'll be there after the game with another final score with the score after the Spurs game. So make sure you join us for that. Thanks to everyone who's here, who's listened, who's contributed tonight. Really appreciate it. Do make sure you check out the voice note review that Louis will be doing. That should be available on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account, which I recommend you follow. Also, make sure you can get this as a podcast on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account tomorrow morning. So make sure you want to listen to that if you haven't listened to it already. Make sure you follow Chelsea Echo on Twitter. Loads of great content on there. And thanks to all the guests, contributors, and join us for the next show after the Spurs game. The Chelsea.